It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness. The loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Hello, fearless leaders. Welcome back to another episode of the Leading LDS Podcast. My name is Kurt Frankum. I have the privilege of being your host, and I encourage you to check out leadinglds.com. Share your thoughts. Check out some other content there of how to be a better leader in the LDS world. Today, this podcast focuses on a guest post that was submitted by Nathan Waldron. Now, you'll remember Nathan, otherwise known as President Waldron, who is an Elders Quorum president in Roy, Utah. You will remember him in a How I Lead episode, and I encourage you to check that out. He had a lot of good things to say. Now, after we got done with the interview, he said to me, "Oh no, we didn't kind of explain how I increased home teaching and the methods I used." And so I encouraged him to share that and write a guest post, and he did so. And it's fantastic. I encourage you to go to leadinglds.com, where this episode is linked to, and read the article that he actually wrote. We are going to discuss that article and the premises in that article. And so regardless if you read it first and then listen to this episode, or you listen to this episode and then go read it, either way, just make sure you go read it. He discusses in that article the power of why. Now, in this podcast, as I interview Nathan once again, it's more of a discussion than it is an interview. We reference a few things that I want to give you a heads up for. We kind of bounce all over the map on this one. First, we talk about the six source model of influence. And if you are not familiar with this, you can search on Leading LDS about the six source model. I will put the diagram in the show notes. But it's kind of hard to explain through the interview, and you'll see that. So if you listen to it and you don't quite capture what we're talking about, go check it out on the website. We also reference Simon Sinek's How Great Leaders Inspire Action. This is a TED Talk that he gave. I think it's one of the top TED Talks, has the most, one of the top amount of viewers in the history of TED Talks. And so you're probably familiar with it. If you are not, as a leader, you need to go watch that, and I'll also reference that in the show notes. So here we are, Nathan Waldron on the power of why in home teaching. Nathan, thanks again for taking some time with me to sit down and dive into the science of home teaching again. I sure appreciate this article you wrote about the power of why in home teaching, and maybe just jump into it. What encouraged you to write this article?
The basis of this started, months ago, really with the six source model. That's where I started things. And I, you know, just knew that there was an application for that to home teaching, specifically. And then as I've changed my approach to things, especially in the last several months, as I listened to, Simon Sinek's, Start With Why, I came to the understanding, I guess, that there was a better way. I was focused on the results, not on the root of you know, the root of things. And so that's, I mean, really where my focus on Start With Why. You know, why are we doing what we do? I mean, why do we attend church meetings at 6 a.m.? Why do we, get up in the middle of the night when we get a phone call for a blessing? Why do we do those things? It's really because of our own testimonies. That's where, you know, our foundation. But understanding that, helps you, I think, as an individual balance the decisions that you have to make in a day. You know, family, work, church, you know, there's tons of things going on, and understanding your own personal reasons for doing things really hits home. A month and a half ago, there was a quote from
President Benson, right?
Yeah, President Benson. That's what, you know, and he talks about all these things that we do, and you know, but he says focusing on the scriptures. If we get everybody to read the scriptures, to spend time in the scriptures, that everything else will follow. And I, you know, my wife and I read the lesson before church that Saturday night before church, and we discussed it a little bit, and then we discussed it a little bit more. It came up in Sunday school. And it really, you know, hit home that I was focusing on the actions, on the results. I wasn't focusing on, focused on the results, not the what we needed to do on a day-to-day basis. So,
Maybe let me read that quote. I think it's worth reading. So this is from the gospel doctrine lesson in the Old Testament manual, I assume. And President Ezra Taft Benson says, "Often we spend great effort in trying to increase the activity levels in our stake. We work diligently to raise the percentages of those attending sacrament meetings. We labor to get a higher percentage of our young men on missions. We strive to improve numbers of those marrying in the temple. All of these are commendable efforts and important to the growth of the kingdom. But when individual members and families immerse themselves in the scriptures regularly and consistently, these other areas of activity will automatically come. Testimonies will increase, commitment will be strengthened, families will be fortified, and personal revelation will flow." And going back to the six-source model, obviously I've written quite a bit about the principles of vital smarts and influencer crucial conversations, and one of the principles in there they really focus on is the vital behaviors concept, where you get down to the very basics of what you're trying to accomplish, something that you have complete control over, and just focus on that, and these results, the positive results and goals that you focus on, should be made manifest. And they give the example in the influencer book that, you know, a lot of people say, well, how do you lose weight? Well, I need to, you know, work out more, stop eating as much, but those aren't vital behaviors. Those are just kind of general concepts, ideas that lead to weight loss. But they've done a study of the people who lose weight and keep it off are the people who stand on a scale every day. So there's a vital behavior that you have, an individual has 100% control over. They work out at home. And I always forget the last one. Eat breakfast or something. But nonetheless, those are vital behaviors that an individual can focus on. And that's exactly the principle that President Benz is talking about, is we focus on determining what these vital behaviors are, and then we preach from that standpoint. Suddenly these goals are a lot easier to obtain, and we're led the why of, or the vision of, maybe a quorum or home teaching is easier to made manifest.
Yeah, and I mean, just, I think it was just yesterday, I was reading, I read Alma 7:24, and it says, "And see that you have faith, hope, and charity, and then you will always abound in good works." Focus on the faith, the hope, and the charity, the good works will come. You know, it's stuff like that. It's just, you know, you've got to understand, I think, personally, why you make the decisions that you do.
You know,
go ahead.
One thought I had is, you think your typical elders' quorum meeting, just obviously this can relate to Relief Society, High Priest Group, or just a ward in general, but generally most wards have priesthood and Relief Society third hour. Okay, so you get an individual walks in elders' quorum. He's already been through 2 hours of church. He gets the basic premises of the gospel, why he's there. He gets that, you know, there's going to be gospel lesson there, whether it's engaging or not, it's going to happen. The elders' quorum presidency will usually start out the meeting. And there isn't this natural feeling of why, you know, why I'm there. It's so easy in this gospel, and it's not just reserved for the church. This happens in all aspects of life, even in family, where you just get going through the motions, and it's hard to shake a group of people out of that. And I think with home teaching, we just become so subject to the motions of the task of, okay, here's your list, here's your companion, go teach them. I'm going to call you at the end of the month. You tell me if you taught them, right? Yep. And the why of the situation is totally left out. And I don't think it's the fault of necessarily the Elders Corps presidency. A lot of people don't really know how to form that why. And so maybe one question I have for you, Nathan, is going back to, I think you first, maybe tell, and you kind of alluded to this, where you're in a work meeting, a work training, you came across the six source model of influence that Vital Smarts and Influencer, that they kind of tout. And maybe break down what that is in your eyes, you know, the kind of the prescription of that. Like, what does that look like? How does it apply in work situations, and how'd you take it into the church situation?
To be honest, I haven't used it at work at all, or at least I don't feel like I've used it at work. When I left that training, I talked to my boss, and I see great application outside of work, but inside of work, I don't see it right now. And that was the end of it. I don't really see that I've used it. I work in primarily cross-functional teams. I work with people across, we have six different affiliate companies that we work with. I work with all people from all six. It's working with them and balancing that. But on a day-to-day basis, I don't use Influencer at all. But I definitely felt like there was an approach to home teaching, and I'm just pulling it up here now, and I haven't touched this in a long time. But you know, the six source model, you know, you've got the personal level, and then you've got motivation and ability, or will and skill on both sides. Personally, the question I asked is, do I want to do it, or do you as an elder want to perform the role of home teaching, and or the, you know, keep your commitments in the covenant you've made? I try to make it fairly simple. So do I want to do it? And then on the ability side, the skill side, do you have the knowledge? Do you have, you know, can you, do you know what home teaching is? To some people, that means something else, you know. So I wanted a level set so everybody was on the same page as far as what home teaching was for us. Proper training. We have a few new elders as they come in. Okay, have you been home teaching? You know, go through that, explain what home teaching is. If there's any tools that we can provide, you know, do they know where they live, these people? Have they made connections? You know, that's, for me, falls kind of under the ability, for the personal ability. And then the final one is, do I understand the purpose of home teaching? To me, home teaching is about friends, building the friendship and building a relationship. But I think I read something Elder Ballard, I think, shared on Facebook the other day, is, you know, we often get caught up on bringing people to meetings that we forget we're bringing them to Christ. And that's really the purpose of home teaching, is to bring people to Christ, you know. And it may be developing a friendship that lasts years before they even ask about church. So then the next level is obviously the social. Do I know who my companion is? Do I know who my families are? You know, does the quorum as a whole want to? Is there a discussion within the quorum? Is there those relationships across the quorum? And then on the skill side of the social, can I find easy time with my companions to make the appointments? Can I easily make an appointment, you know, with my families? You know, let's say they set up a recurring appointment with their companion second Sunday at 4 p.m. We're going to go out and visit our families. Okay, well, that's fine if the companions can do that, but can their families then fit in with that? So that is the social skill area that takes some time. And then structurally, reporting obviously falls under, for me at least, falls under the structural requirements. And then, is there adequate follow-up and assistance? You know, as an Elders Quorum presidency, are we in contact with people throughout the month? I personally don't like the once a month phone call, because that means, you know, they it doesn't encourage the relationship building. If there's consistent follow-up, even every Sunday, just touching base on a one-to-one basis, not as an entire quorum or, you know, over the pulpit, you know, in opening exercises or whatever, just saying, hey, how are you doing? How are your families doing? Is there anything that we need to do to help you? Those types of things are important. And then recognizing the contribution, you know, celebrating the small successes. We haven't done, but we used to do a home teaching moment in beginning of Elders Quorum every month, every day or every Sunday. And it was, what successes have you had? And one person I remember, you know, raised their hand and said, hey, I talked to my companion. And that was a success for them because they hadn't ever really taken that initiative before. So it's celebrating those small successes. Where I think I spent most of my time as far as organizing the home teaching really fell under the structural skill area. Do I live close to my companion? Do I live close to my families? Do I know my families? Do I know some background on these families? That type of stuff. So that's kind of how, you know, and a lot of that comes right from the posts you've written on it. But that's how I felt like it applied to us. And we've seen a dramatic increase right after this was implemented. We made these changes. We went from the low teens to around 40%. We hover between 40 and 60% during the year. So we've peaked at, I think, 80%. So we're seeing improvement, but we've kind of hit that stagnant area right now. So it's time to lift it up again. And that's where the focus on the why comes from. Instead of, you know, focusing on the actions or the hows, it's the whys. Why do we home teach? How is your testimony doing? You know, and as the testimony grows, as President Benson said, the other actions will follow.
Yeah. So when you went to that training, came out kind of obviously not really motivated on the work side of it, not seeing many applications there. And then really that depends on, you know, your role and what sort of influence you're trying to project on groups of people, because if you're not managing people or like an Elders Quorum president does, there's not a ton of opportunity there other than your personal life maybe. But so coming out of there, and I think you said you were around 10 to 15% home teaching,
yeah,
at that point, and then you saw an immediately boost there, and you kind of went through it all, but the basic premise, as you mentioned, is the six source model is based on an individual either does something because they're motivated to do something, or they also know how to do it, and then that influence comes from on a personal level. You know, so for home teaching, you're personally motivated because you get the why, you have your own why to do it. And you know how to pick up a phone and call somebody. Then you're motivated on a social level where not only the people around you, maybe you have a companion that's also personally motivated, and so that motivation spills over to you. You have an organized quorum. You have a really good Elders Quorum presidency that's leading you and helping you there. And then structurally, like you said, even down to the basic geographic layout of a home teaching route. If the person lives next door to you, you're more likely to home teach them than somebody who lives on a 45-minute drive away from your home, which many people deal with. So specifically, what did you put into place right away? Like, how did you execute that? Like, now you have this six-source model, so how can I translate it so and influence this group of elders?
My training took place in November. I took November, December, and January, and I read all the posts you had made. I studied the book. I spent a lot of time praying about it, looking at our ward layout. Our ward is very distinct for blatant areas. So I divided the ward up and then said, okay. And then I took the ward list and I started mapping out where do we have the active members of the quorum, where are the less active members, and looked at the layout and started dividing people up into companionships. Fortunately, you know, the Elders Quorum president at the time, just, he claims he knew I was going to be next, and He just said, take it and run. So I spent another probably month. I think it was probably it was March before we actually implemented it. So I spent a few more months figuring out the companionships, laying them out, working through that, used Google Maps to geolocate everybody in the ward and put pins on. I mean, color-coded them, and then started creating the companionships. And then we had a lesson where, and unfortunately, it was there were like four people in the quorum that day. But we talked about, this is our plan. This is what we want to do. What's going to work for you? How's it going to work to make, you know, do we want to do three areas or do we want to do four areas? Because there were two areas that are less populated. And the quorum decided that we want to go four areas. Okay. And I said, well, if we do that, this is the impact. This is how things look. And we've stuck to that. And occasionally we'll revisit it. But as we make changes to companionships, we still try to keep them within that geographic area unless there's an overriding reason. Hey, I'm really good friends with this guy. I'll go visit them. Or I spend, I go running with this person every week. Let me home teach them. Because those are the relationships that are going to matter. Those are the relationships that are going to be easy for the people to keep.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point where you didn't do this in the back rooms with your presidency. You took it to your quorum and said, this is what I'm thinking. These are some areas I want to point. You took the basic principle of, I think if we look at who lives by who, we can maybe increase the percentage of who gets visited. So what do you guys think? Should we do three areas, four areas? And then you get this feedback, and it's almost as they give you feedback, it's almost a buy-in, right? Where, mm-hmm. I feel part of this. I have a say and a voice in how this gets done, and I can add some input. And then I think that's great is leveraging the established relationships. It's sometimes silly that we're going out and trying to create superficial friendships with individuals and families when many of them already have those established. So why not have their established friend be their home teacher as well? They're more likely to open up to that friend when times are tough or they truly do need help, as opposed to somebody who's somewhat of a stranger coming to their house and saying, is there anything that we can do for you today? Right.
Yep.
And
yep.
That's, it's just awkward that way. So leveraging not only leveraging the geographic location, but also leveraging the established friends. So,
yeah.
And is doing that geographic on the Google Maps, is that very hard? Is it mainly just plugging in a file format?
I had to download the ward directory from LDS.org, and then because of the as long as the addresses are consistent in LDS in MLS, it's easy to do. Our addresses weren't 100% consistent, so I had to go through and do some manipulation. But there's actually a tool that will read in a file and it will geolocate it or geocode it. And then you can, so I pulled back the geocodes for every address and then imported the resulting spreadsheet into Google. It's a several step process. I'm a little bit of a geek and took me a few weeks to figure out, but,
Maybe I think half of the Elder Scrolls presence listing, their brains just exploded, but
yeah, that's pretty much my wife looked at it and she got very sick of me talking about it because I spent every waking minute, figuring this out and making it work.
Yeah. And maybe that's, a post we need to put together with our friends over at Mormon Life Hacker is how to take a list of addresses and geolocate them. Because I think when you look at that, you'd suddenly, there's a lot that information that comes from that. Like, wow, I didn't know this was such a cluster here. Or like you said, one area you discovered was very unpopulated.
Yeah. And I was surprised. I mean, I was surprised. I thought we had a very heavy area of, inactives in one area. And that wasn't at all true. That was a fairly active area. And granted, it was just the Elder's Quorum. But and I haven't gone back and remapped it since then. But it's one of those things that I keep thinking maybe it's time to go play with. So.
Yeah. Okay, so we've sort of talked about the six source model. I want to make sure, and we can kind of get lost in the weeds here a little bit. But so the basic, I encourage everybody to check out the various posts on Leading LDS about the six source model and how it applies to home teaching. And I think further explanation can be found there and maybe future podcasts need to be focused on that. But the basic premise is it gives you a model that you can take and plug in home teaching principles and create influence rather than just winging it and doing what every other Elder's Quorum president does and stand and just say, you know, have we all done our home teaching this week or this month? And I encourage you to get out there and call those people, or here's your list. Like, it gives you substance, something to work with to put a plan together. And that's the basic premise. And I don't want people to get too confused or overwhelmed by listening to this, like, wow, I don't even know where to start with that. It's a good guideline to do that. Now, putting that kind of aside, that's kind of the model you use, but the reason you use that model is to create a why out of it, because it's easy to, again, don't create the model just to go through the motions and check the boxes at the end, but creating a why. And that goes to, this has been on my mind a lot, and maybe I can articulate this a little bit, but this power, this concept of culture in an organization has been like just captivated my mind, and because I don't feel like I'm very good at this at all. And understanding what culture is, and I think we can all go back to a time, whether it's an award or a work employment situation you had, where you really felt like you were part of something that was having an impact, and you didn't mind helping, you didn't care where the credit went, because you felt like you were making a difference. And this is so difficult in a ward. I feel like in my ward, I'm just like banging my head against the wall, like, how can I establish a culture? And what is culture? What does it even look like? And the more I thought about it, the thought I had is that a culture is really a feeling of excitement to do something that's mundane, because it creates lasting change. And getting people to come to church and be like, man, I'm so excited for church, not because it's just what I do, but man, we're seeing some great change. Like, we've all had an experience where we see someone come back to the church, or we've been involved in somebody's conversion process to be baptized. And being at that baptism, just like, man, I want to do this again and again and again. But then the mundane comes, the going through the motions, here's your home teaching list, hey, you know, teach this lesson, oh, it looks like we don't have the teacher today, you know, and so it gets bogged down with all this fluff. But, and really, I feel like I will know when I have culture established in any organization I lead, when they're not waiting for me as the leader to prompt them to do something, right? It just happens. And I've seen it. Some people are wired this way and some people aren't. Maybe that's it. But I feel like it's a skill that can be learned, where people just get it, like it goes off, and they come to me and they said, hey, Bishop, here's some information for you. I just went out and did it. And you're just like, wow, like, thank you. You know, like, and I always harp on my word of like, and the last thing I ever want anybody to say to me is there anything I can do for you, Bishop? Like, just look around. Go do something. Don't wait for me to come up with this great idea of something you can do. You know, just go do it. And home teaching kind of falls into this trap because it's sort of a program. This is what we do. And here's your list. Go do it. But in reality, just go visit somebody. Why do you need a list to go visit somebody, right? And I feel like if healthy culture can be established, these things will happen automatically, you know, that's what President Benson is talking about. If we have a culture where we know how to study the scriptures, we're motivated to study scriptures, we do family prayer, like, suddenly we're inspired to be more Christ-like, right? And so, I don't really have a solid point, because this is something I'm struggling with, is establishing that culture. And going back to the why of, and I encourage everyone to check out Simon Sinek's TED Talk that talks about this. My Elder's Quorum president, I was so proud. He texted me, and maybe I'll get in trouble for this, but he texted me a couple weeks ago and says, hey, is it okay if I show the why TED Talk in Elder's Quorum? And I'm like, ooh, well, let's ask for forgiveness later. So he did. And then I sent him a talk. I said, you know, obviously we can't preach the gospel of some Simon Sinek, but the principles are true. Go for it. And then I sent him a talk that President Uchtdorf did about the whys of priesthood service or something. I'll have to link to it. And it fit in perfectly. And so I have such a hard time as Simon. Let me step back a little bit with the basic premise of Simon's speech is he basically says most companies start with the what they do, then they go to the how they do it, and then somehow they sort of end up on a why they do it. But all the successful companies who create a culture start with the why we do it, how, then they go to that, well, how are we going to do that? And then it ends up with, well, okay, this is what is happening. And so, and this is really what I love about this article you wrote, is you really dive into this as far as what that means to you. So maybe I'll stop talking now and let you you expound on that. What do you mean by the, how do you apply this principle of the why, how, what into an Elder Scorm?
The way I view it is the how is everything that we do. The meetings we attend, the home teaching we do, that's all how to me. The what's are the results we get out of those. Hopefully a what of home teaching is a positive relationship with our neighbors, our friends. The what of attending ward council is hopefully an improvement in the ward, you know, the ward culture, or those types of things that, hey, as an organization, this is what we can do to move forward. The what of family scripture study is a more founded, more firm testimony founded in the scriptures and in Jesus Christ. So, you know, those are all the hows and the what's. And I, like I said, I'd realized that I'd been focusing on a how. I'd been focusing on home teaching, not how's your testimony. And so that's when I went back and I did some thinking and some pondering. And I really do believe that we have the answer of why God did all he did, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. I truly believe that is, you know, if God had a mission statement or a vision, that's it. You know, if you can't look at anything that happens in the lives of God's children and not see that in play. I've had the privilege of counseling some people over the last several years in different things. And when that's focused on, when it's, hey, this is you and this is your potential, this is your vision, that helps them to overcome whatever it is that they're dealing with, whether it's a rocky relationship, whether it's alcohol, pornography, you know, what, no matter what it is, if you lose the here and now and focus on the future, focus on that day when you are lovingly encircled in your Father's arms, that will give you more power to accomplish the things that he's asked us to do. So that is where our why is. I think, though, that it's a little lofty for me to say, hey, I'm going to help bring to pass the immortality and the eternal life of man. Right. You know, how do you do that? So that's when I went and searching, and I found that the quote by President McKay that says, the purpose of the gospel is to make bad men good and good men better and to change human nature. I don't know where I fall in that spectrum, whether I'm a bad man or a good man or somewhere in between, but it doesn't matter because the gospel's changing me. And if we accept that as leaders, that it can change us, then obviously we are in a position where we can help others change as well. And, you know, if we can, and I don't know how we do that besides the programs of the church that are already out there. I think it was on a recent podcast that you did, you know, we're always trying to find the next best thing. What can we do that will improve things? There's nothing that we need to do. Everything's already there. But I think truly we have to start with ourselves. You can't have a good home teacher who is viewing pornography every day of the week, because it's just, it's oxymoron. You can't have that. You can't have a good home teacher who isn't spending time in the scriptures. You can still accomplish the duty.
Right. You can check the box, right?
Yes, that you can check the box, but are you really doing it for the right reasons? And so that, I mean, that's really it, is, you know, having that vision. And, you know, one of the things my bishop suggested when I first was called is establish a vision for your quorum and focus on that. looking back, I don't know how much I've focused on it. It's a constant reminder. It's in every email I send out every week. But there's not a lot of, hey, this is what we're trying to accomplish. This is where we're going. And I think it's time to maybe take a step back and I do more of that to reestablish that vision, to accept that we are being changed by the gospel and through the gospel and through the atonement.
Yeah, and I think the why is the starting point where a lot of people, like you said, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man, like you say, okay, that's our why. Man, blows you away. Like, I don't know where to even start there. But that gives you a starting point. Then as a leader, you articulate how you do that and then what we do to do that, right? And so I would, as I hear you expound on that, thoughts I have is to kind of the starting point for leaders listening or saying, okay, how do I establish a why in my quorum and in my leadership? I would, with every simple action you do, ask why you're doing it. So if you have a meeting and you can say why, and you ask yourself before the meeting, why are we having the meeting? And you cannot effectively articulate a really strong reason that relates to the why, just cancel the meeting. We have so many meetings in the church that, well, we have ward council because, well, we're supposed to have ward council. That's great, and you should strive towards articulating why you have it, but if you cannot do it, do not waste the people's time. Just cancel it, and then use that time to go into your leadership cave and articulate why do you have ward council, right? And then you can do that with when you hand somebody a home teaching route, right? Why am I handing this home teaching route to them? Well, I don't know, like, because I'm supposed to. That's just what we do. If that's the reason, stop handing out home teaching routes, reassess everything until you can find a reason why you're doing that. And I love how you pointed out speaking individually. Like, if you don't have a reason, a strong why as far as why you're getting up in the morning, and you're just defaulting to, oh, well, in Elders Quorum, we have a lesson. Well, just because every other Elders Quorum we have has a lesson. You know, why do you have a lesson? Why do you get up as leader and do that? And then, I mean, this is one area I've really been focusing on with auxiliary leaders, is saying, I want you to articulate the why. Like, why are you doing this? So that we can always fall back on that. So when the mundane happens, you go through the motions, you can call a timeout and say, all right, we're stepping back and we're articulating the why we're doing this. And if we have to cancel things, clean the slate and start over, do that rather than just saying, well, it's just what we have always done, right?
Yeah. I had, about a year ago, had an offsite meeting with my team at work, and my boss's boss came in and she said, okay, we need to figure out why you do things. And we all had to go around the room, and after, you know, she had a presentation that went along with this, but we had to decide on one word that would get us through the next year. And it was interesting hearing people's words, and my word was family, you know, and it ended up being a fairly difficult year for me. But that family, it was just funny because, you know, when I have those days, I sit back and I think, I'm doing this for my family. You know, if I don't work, we don't have a roof overhead, we don't have all the conveniences, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, having that why, family. It has nothing to do with work. I mean, my boss could care less how my family's doing, you know, as far as the company's concerned, because it doesn't add to the bottom line. But it is important enough to them because they know that I am, as a valued employee, I need to be a whole person, and family's part of that. You know, and so we have to recognize in this, in the church, that there are other aspects to these people's lives. You know, work is crazy, yeah. Work is bad. I mean, unemployment, all that other stuff. But if we, find a good, solid why, the stuff that doesn't matter will fall away. You know, I may struggle with unemployment, but I still go to church because I know that God blesses me. I may, you know, struggle with X, Y, or Z temptation, but I still do what I need to do because God is my Father. He's promised me these great blessings. I look forward to that day when I can return to His presence.
Yeah. You know, and another idea that came to mind is, as you told the story about your boss's boss that came in and challenged you to think of a word that will, you know, kind of be the focus of a year. it makes me think of when we hand that home teaching slip to somebody and we ask them to home teach. Your job as a leader isn't necessarily to get home teaching done, but to make sure that every individual in your quorum has a why, right? And if they don't have a why, like, why even give them the home teaching route? Just so you can call them and they feel bad that it wasn't done, and then you go through this monotony of, oh, didn't home teaching's, you know, throw my arms up, this is worthless, it's not working, I don't know what to do, they're just all lazy, yada, yada, yada. But through, as I preach my PPI method, is just having consistent PPIs with individuals and saying, okay, what's your why? Like, we're here, the only reason we're not going to talk about people or individuals at home teach yet until we figure out why do you want to do it. And I think through this you'll find that individuals, you can get to a core intrinsic experience in their life where they said, you know, in my mission I had this experience, and man, if I could somehow find that at home teaching, I'd do it every time, you know. And then you've got something to work with. And then the next month, when you meet with them, you can say, okay, let's remember our why. Like, did you find that this month? Why or why not? And then you have something tangible to work with rather than this monotony of, oh, you didn't do it. Okay, well, I encourage you to go out and do it. These families need you, yada, yada. But, and it's true, they do need you. But if you can't help them find why they need you, it's just not worth it.
Yep.
Just get 0% and sing Kumbaya during Elders Quorum or something. Like, it's just, there's got to be a why. It's so crucial. Yes. I think I'm...
I happened to be conducting this week, and, you know, I stood up and I made a reminder about home teaching, and I said, I'd rather have you all report that you did no home teaching than to have some of you report that that you did some. So, I mean, because reporting is so crucial. Without the reporting, what's the point of the action? You know, so, and I don't know how this fits into why. I mean, I guess you need to understand the why is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. If you buy into that, that's fine. If you want to have your own, you know, that's fine too. But that's where I focus. And the only way I know how families are doing is if they do their home teaching. And by reporting that back to me, then I can report to the bishop and that information flows. Why needs its own, or the reporting needs its own why for some people, because they just don't understand it. So that there's 2 cents on reporting.
Perfect. Yes, it is important. All right. Well, I think we've had a good discussion here, and I encourage everybody to read the article that Nathan wrote on leading LDS. Kind of goes in more depth. You can kind of take it at your own pace, and I think we've blasted through some principles that maybe left some heads spinning. But I also encourage you to check out Simon Sinek's How. What's it called?
Start with why.
Start with why. How great leaders inspire action. I'll link to that in the show notes, as well as check out, you referenced the Forget Me Not talk that President Uchtdorf gave in October of 2011 during the women's, I think the Relief Society meeting of General Conference. And then also The Why of Priesthood Service, April 2012, President Uchtdorf. I have a suspicion that President Uchtdorf reads the same books that I do, because he's always kind of slightly hinting at influencer principles, but in reality they're all principles of the gospel. So any further thoughts you have?
The only thing I would suggest for you as far as establishing culture, my bishop has done is we've done a 40-day fast, come up with a, you know, list of people, things, whatever in the ward that need help. And then you have people, at least one member of the ward, fasting for 40 days.
Oh, that's cool.
It was the first time we did it, within days, people started getting jobs. Health was improved. I mean, it was just, you know, one of those, we need this, we can, and we saw action and saw response immediately.
I love that.
You know, and it was an idea that the bishop picked up from a missionary who would, so anyway, he picked it up, and we actually now do that every 6 months. We do a 40-day fast, and
that's
you
cool.
know, the it helps bring the ward together to focus on a few key individuals or a few key things that we want to accomplish. You know, let's say it's we want to improve our relationships with our neighbors rather than home teaching, our relationship with our neighbors in the next 40 days. So that's what we're going to fast for. If you've got those people praying and fasting for that over the course of 40 days, it's going to be on their mind. It's going to be hard for them not to want to go out and visit their neighbors. So there's just,
I love that. I'm taking it. I'm using it.
Go for it. Yeah. I mean, it worked. Like I said, it's worked fairly well for us. I mean, the second and the third one has been a little, is this going to be as effective? But the first one definitely was.
This concludes the interview with President Waldron. Go check out his article if you haven't read it yet. Jump over to Leading LDS, read it. There's much more in-depth thought and content that you can add to this discussion that we've had. Put your comments there. It really helps to get a further discussion going. Remember, our mission of Leading LDS is to create a platform and a community where people can share ideas of what's working in your ward, branch, corm, unit, and then we can share it with one another. This is the point where I beg and plead for you to go to iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you access this podcast, and leave a review. The more reviews you get, the more leaders can find this podcast and benefit from it. We're building the kingdom, so go do it. Until next time, become a leader, not a calling.